It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome into Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 35 today. That's right, our 35th week, our 35th episode. The water is fine, the hot tub is ready to go. You know about the cooler off to the left, stocked with your favorite drinks, steaks, hot dogs, hamburgers, over to the right on the grill. We also have some vegetables and fruit put out for you. It's time to take off your clothes and enjoy clothes-free living. Let the wind hit your skin. Let the sun embrace your body as well. Living the clothes-free life for all of the right reasons on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. We have a heavy content show for you today, so we're going to get into it right away, starting with the terrific, the one and only Lisa Monroe, followed by an extended interview with nudist humorist Tim Chismar, also a radio, TV, Hollywood guy. We'll get into all of that, plus his current comedic sidekick, Melody Munson. So let's get to it right now. The one, the only, the very terrific, our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe. So here she is, the one and only, the terrific, the fully clothes-free and fully smiling, and previously had her arms filled with baked goods for the staff, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. Yes, I brought cupcakes today. I hope you enjoy them.
They look good. I don't like to eat anything until after we're done broadcasting, but can I with confidence, can you say they're pretty good?
I can say they're pretty good.
All right.
At least I hope they're pretty good. Can't go wrong with chocolate cupcakes.
Everything that you have brought in before, top of the line, delicious.
Why, thank you.
We have some people on Twitter, especially from the UK, post baked goods a lot, and say, that looks really good. You know, I'm getting hungry already. Maybe we should just save the show for another day. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, we could just break into the cupcakes. You never know. But we'll be good. We'll wait.
What I wanted to get into today is that we put out some feelers, for lack of a better term, with our audience about what we should do moving forward. Do we just continue with naturism, 100% max, which we're totally fine with because that's what we do. That's what we've done. That's what we're used to. But we did get a few messages from people. You know, what about CFNM or the other combinations of those words? That's clothed female, naked male. There's also clothed male, naked female, and it goes on forever. Or some other aspects of just naked fun, naked on stage, in Broadway shows, or in movies, or anything naked. And without question, the overwhelming response, I think 100%, has been, no, please don't do that. And as people began to explain, because, you know, we explore this with them, there's a lot of feeling and belief, and it turns out I believe they're right. CFNM has actually become a pornographic and of the BDSM empire, and we have nothing to do with that, nor will we ever. When CFNM started, because I had email conversations back and forth with the guy who takes credit for creating that term, and he said, no, it was all designed to just give naturism another view. A lot of women don't like to show up and get nude right away. The husband does. So, okay, honey, whip it off. I'll sit here clothed. And then they can enjoy the view as wives and girlfriends and women. And eventually they might take their clothes off too for fully blown social naturism. But even if they don't, it still gives the guy a chance to be nude if he wants. And it, you know, honestly, it gives the women something to look at if that's what they want. But that's the beginning and ending of what that movement was supposed to be. Sounds like, and I looked some things up after the people explained it. Oh, no, it's gone way beyond that. And so just to let our listeners know, we were never suggesting to go the inappropriate route, the pornographic route, or we just don't do it. And a lot of people commented on that, Lisa. As you know, it would hurt our brand because our brand is clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And we never had any intention of going down the other roads. We didn't know those roads existed. We thought CFNM, or at least I did, was just pure naturism with half clothed, and half nude until maybe later on in the day. But any thoughts on that? Let me turn it over to you.
Well, I have to agree with you. My concept of clothed female, naked male, clothed male, naked female was always that it was a form of naturism. It was just a very innocent, simple thing. You know, people got together, you got, you know, somebody got naked, somebody didn't, somebody served dinner, somebody didn't. And it was a way for me to understand the concept that people could be naked without those connotations that it now brings. And I have to tell you, I don't know, a few years ago, I think I typed in CFNM. Those things are hard to say, just to see what would pop up. And I was shocked at where that has gone.
Yeah,
it is. And I was like, okay, no, nope, I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. And so it's been hijacked and co-opted for nefarious purposes and for, you know, films and stuff, and it's just ridiculous. So I think it is a very smart move not to discuss it, because it's not what it used to be at all.
I even listened to a podcast. I won't give the name of it, but it was, you know, about CFNM. I thought, okay, I'll just learn from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And it was hosted by two women who had two men as guests in the studio. And it quickly went south and stayed there the whole show. It wasn't anything about what I believed or what I knew CFNM to be at one time. It was all pornographic and BDSM and humiliating the males. And no, that's not what we do. It's not what we're involved in. We've never promoted that. We won't promote that. So on the one hand, just so the listeners can rest assured, no, we will never do that. We were just looking to see if there were other areas that our listeners would like to explore. And the resounding answer has been, please don't. Please keep on doing what you're doing. Because nobody else is doing this. And even had a guest on recently. I won't mention this person's name, but the person said, we're the only ones who never, ever get sexual. Everybody else eventually goes down that road, even if for a brief shining moment, but we don't. You know, we keep it above board. It's close-free living for all the right reasons. Purified naturism, for lack of a better term. And it's always good to hear comments like that. So that is what we'll continue to do. And I know you agree with that, because we talked a little before we started.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. And, you know, with anything, naturism is not about humiliation.
No.
It's about just the opposite. So to bring anything in that is humiliating, even if it was never a concept of ours, no way, because that is the least thing we're about. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, I have heard some podcasts, because as we do, we listen to others and, you know, not just in the naturism world, but other podcasts too. And even if they're talking about something, sometimes they're talking about the psychology of this, which has always impressed me, that I wanted to know more about what motivates us to be this way. They tend to turn to some sort of sexual connotation. And, you know, look, we all know that that's what makes the world go round, but it's not something that has to consume us every single day, and it doesn't have a place in why we're doing this.
Yeah, no, it's very well said. There was a woman who lived down the street from me when I was much younger. I was still living with my parents. I was in the early days of college, naturist, you know, all the way through. Everybody knew it. Her whole family was, as were other families on the street. And I remember at some gathering, somebody said to her, hey, you should go to one of those bars where the women dance with their tops off or their clothes off. You'd make a lot of money. And I still remember it, because it left quite an impression. She said, why in the world would I ever do that? That's the antithesis of naturism. Naturism is clothes free living for all the right reasons. I don't know if she used that term, but she was basically saying social naturism is dropping the defenses, dropping the nonsense, just being who you are, not getting on stage in front of a bunch of clothed people, you know, half in the bag from alcohol. Mm-hmm. And shaking things around, because that has nothing to do with it. Now, again, I was probably 18, 19, so I was still quite impressionable. And I still remember that. And I don't know when it started, where people began to, for lack of a better term, bastardize naturism and nudism. Like, hey, let's get naked and have all kinds of wild parties in the back room. That is never what it was supposed to have been about. But it's become that. And now they take everything, naturism, nudism, and now CFNM, and who knows what else. Hey, we could turn this into pornography and make money at it. Never the case here. We will never do that. So we thank our listeners for letting us know, hey, what you think is kind of fun playing around with naturism. It's not. It's a lot of dark areas there, and I'm glad they told us that.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
And the one thing, too, that I think people need to remember is that there's a mindset set from where you grew up to where a lot of other people grew up.
Yeah.
And that you had a family that was, as you've stated, where men were often nude for whatever reason. Women were not always. So right. It was a common and very normal thing. And so that lends itself to thinking that it's a very common and normal thing. And it was for many, many years. But, you know, it's like Burger King and the chick in the skimpy bikini washing the car and eating a burger. It's not about the burger. It's not what they're selling. So, you know, we just have to, you know, just be smart about what we do and recognize the pitfalls of some things that should be okay but aren't.
Yeah. No, that's very well said. And we appreciate our listeners very much. We feel like we know each of them, at least the ones who write in. And we know there are a lot who don't write in, but they listen anyway. And one of the big deals now is I've been promoting this a little bit on the show, especially at the beginning. You know, we drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. on Spotify. And we have a lot of listeners starting at 6, 6.01, 6.02. And that's basically when we're listening too, because we want to make sure everything came out correct. So that's kind of fun too, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely a lot of fun because you're like, oh my gosh, look, there's another one. And it's exciting and it's amazing. And I'm still kind of pinching myself thinking, you know, we knew that we could do an okay job here and that things that everyone, you know, there was need for even more communication with naturists because there's a lot of people out there. And so without helping broaden the horizons would be a good thing. We just never realized how many people out there really do need this information and want this information. And so it's like, this is really cool. I mean, to watch the website get the hits during the day and to, you know what's happening with the podcast. It's exciting and it's wonderful. And we are incredibly grateful that people are responsive to what we've been doing.
Yeah. Well, we knew to an extent there was a call for more naturism information. Mm-hmm. And like you say, we just didn't know how much because not everybody voices that. You get a few people who write in, but there might be thousands, tens of thousands out there just quietly to themselves. Boy, I wish we had more content. I wish we had a weekly show on naturism, but they don't know where to turn or they're too busy to sit down and write. Well, those people have come to life as well. And we've heard from them. Like, you know, I spent years waiting for regular content on naturism and now I have it. So thank you. And every email that we get, I try to share them with you, but they thank me and they thank you. They also thank Jennifer. So it's a team effort here, and we're just very grateful we can be here and do this every week and let our listeners know we had no intention of going down a dark road because we didn't know that dark road existed. We do now, so it'll be avoided like the plague. And Lisa Monroe, I know you agree with that.
I certainly do agree with that, Frank. Quite the smart person that you are. No, it's very, very true. We're here to do the right thing because that's right. What we want for ourselves is the right way to deal with this and to do it and to enjoy it. And it's frustrating when, you know, it seems like we're getting fewer and fewer places to go, but at least people once a week can have some validation that what they're doing is the right thing.
Yeah. And we get that a lot. You know, they sit home alone, want to be nude. They are nude. Like, am I some kind of weirdo? And then they realize, no, actually not. And the people we've met in the naturism community, very intelligent people, very nice people. You're not looking at a bunch of wackos. You're looking at people who get it, who understand the way to live life is clothes-free for all of the right reasons because of all the benefits we've talked about before. And with that, Lisa Monroe, we need to head for the hills. Another terrific job. Great to see you again. Fully clothes-free, fully smiling, and thank you very much for the cupcakes. Does everybody else know they're available, or is that only something I know? I just need to know before I take them in the back room.
Well, you know, you do need to share, okay? I brought enough for everybody, but there's at least enough for two or three for you.
Well, it looked like 24, and I thought, well, I don't usually eat that stuff, but 24 once a year, what the heck, but I guess I have to share, so.
It's a treat. Everybody needs a treat.
That's right. All right, Lisa Monroe, have a great clothes-free day and week, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. Take care, Frank.
You too. The the very terrific Lisa Monroe, our weekly correspondent on naturism. Love having her here. It brings joy, smiles, and yes, today, baked goods to the studio. How about that? So special hats off to Lisa Monroe. You're listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 35 today. Now let's turn to an extended interview that I recently had with nudist humorist, Mr. Everything in Naturism, Nudism, Tim Chizmar, and his current comedic sidekick, the very terrific Melody Munson. So let's head out to Las Vegas and meet a couple of people. The first one you've met before, he's been on the show before. Nudist comedian, author, produces movies. The guy is everywhere on the creative end, promoting naturism, nudism, clothes-free living for all. So from Vegas, let's welcome to the show this morning, Tim Chizmar. Good morning, Tim. How are you today, sir?
Hey, it's me. It's him. It's T-I-M. I am Tim Chizmar. And I believe, Frank Stone, if I am not incorrect, I think this is the fifth time I've been on your show?
Well, counting the interview that you did with Nikki Hoffman, yeah. We gave two episodes to you, just the two of us talking, then two with Nikki Hoffman, and now this one.
Wait, you know what? I also, you used that segment of the Chris Jericho. So sixth time? I'm taking over, Frank Stone. I'm taking over.
I'm beginning to get concerned. I should have paid more attention.
Hey, Frank, I'd like to welcome you on my show. It's good to have you today.
Naked, Nudist, and Naturist featuring Tim Chizmar. I was playing around with the line this morning. In fact, I told you before we started, you tell me if this works because you're the professional comedian. Hey, it's me. It's him. It's Frank. To me, that doesn't really have the ring. What do you think as a professional?
No. If you were going into the stand-up world, we would maybe change it to like Franks and Beans, something like that.
Or you'd say, hey, Frank, the water cooler is over there. That's your job to deliver water to the real professionals here when they request it. I can see that happening pretty easily. But anyway, let's welcome in the other person from Los Angeles, sort of, from Las Vegas mostly. She did something about a year ago, I guess. It's on one of Tim's shows. We'll get into the details as the show progresses today. But she did the very first stand-up comedian act of her life in front of a camera, in front of an audience. But oh, so much more. She did it totally naked. Now, you think about that for a moment. Getting in front of people, telling jokes where you get immediate feedback, which could be boo, hiss, get her off stage. And she did it with no clothes on. Our new hero around here. Let's welcome also from Vegas this morning, Melody Munson. Good morning, Melody. How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy to be here. This is my first podcast.
What? So
that's very exciting.
Is Tim taking reasonably decent care of you? He's not making you do all the work.
Oh, yes. Right? He's been absolutely lovely. He only locked me in his basement for like a couple hours last night.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, gave me a nice little bowl of gruel that was almost still warm. So, you know, yeah, it's been pretty good.
Usually he has a 6-hour minimum when he locks people in the basement. So only a couple hours.
Yeah, I was only in there for like four and a half.
That's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into it. Tim Chizmar, you have about 1,000 billion gazillion projects going on. Just take it away. What do you want to talk about first today?
Well, I thought I would open up by talking about my new nudist television show. Okay. It's 5 episodes called Naked and Not Afraid, a takeoff on the title of Naked and Afraid. Right. And there's lots to say about it. For starters, where it came from was I had done a nudist comedy called The Noodles of Noodlin. And although it was shot on a very, very, very small shoestring budget, held together with gum and dreams, it has been successful and had a life of its own. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score and reviews and interviews, and I get hit up all the time, and it's still making money. It's on a few streaming platforms. The nudity, the fact that it's a fully nude comedy, and when I say that, I don't do what some other fake nudist movies do where they claim to be nudist and then they're sexual, or they have Austin Powers-esque where they're hiding genitals and they're dancing around the fact that they're naked. No, my people are naked. And it's the majority of the characters in the majority of the movie The only time they put clothes on is like, for example, the sex scene when me and my romantic interest fall for each other. We put on clothes and roll around on a bed laughing and kissing. And so it's things like that. It's pretty ridiculous. And Melody,
I'm in it.
She did a cameo in the movie. She had a scene. And it was great. I was excited. I've known her for a while. We've had mutual friends, and she's always up for adventures and a good time. And so she was kind enough to make an appearance in it. I was approached by a producer who has worked with Clint Eastwood, and he put his daughter Allison Eastwood in one of her first films, which I should actually tell you this story because it involves nudism. In a way. So she's in his movie, and you can look up on IMDb. It's called Friends and Enemies. I think that's what it's called, something like that. Okay. And anyway, she was not asked to be nude in the movie, but she of her own volition decided she wanted to do a topless scene. And so she asked Josie, "Do you mind if I get topless in this scene? I think it'll help the movie." And he said, "Yeah, sure, go for it." And later, he got a call from Mr. Eastwood about, "I understand my daughter got naked in your movie." And so Josie has known Clint for a long time. Josie's an older gentleman, old school Hollywood's been around forever. Just recently did a movie with Jeremy Piven called Sweetwater about the first black basketball team. So anyway, when he called him to give him some hard time about this with his daughter, Josie pointed out that they met before he shot one of his famous westerns, The Outlaw Josie Wales. So for the first time ever, he said, "Well, if you're mad at me about that, at least I didn't steal your name from one of my movies." And Clint had a laugh because he was right. They did name The Outlaw Josie Wales based on Josie Konski. And then he also let him know, listen, it was her idea. It's what she wanted to do. She's an adult. She could do what she wants. And Clint was begrudgingly like, "All right, whatever." And so so that's kind of fun. But Josie approached me because he did a nudist documentary called Naked in America. Okay. And unfortunately for him, he was not very successful with the documentary. And he didn't understand why. It didn't appeal to mainstream audiences because it was more skewed naturist and it wasn't sexy, which is what people were looking for. And he upset the nudist community because his sense of humor didn't resonate with nudists. The trailer that's supposed to sell this documentary opens with a nudist saying, "Well, if you've seen one pair of tits, you've seen them all." And I saw that and I was like, "Well, listen, pal, I got news for you. Like, you already lost your nudist audience right there." So he was impressed with what I did with the Noodles of Noodland, as a lot of people have been. And I don't know if you know, it was nominated for 2 comedy awards at the Film Threats event. It was, so over 30 plus critics agreed that my movie was nominated in 2 categories for indie naked comedy project. So he was excited to get behind something that he felt like I actually understand the nudist community and that I would help to shepherd it into having some more success than his documentary.
Well, that's very good to hear. Now, you mentioned Noodles of Noodland, you know, real nudism going on, but the actors, actresses were also actual nudists, right? It's not people who said, "Okay, I'll take my clothes off for a scene and get it over with." They were actually people who practiced nudism in their own life, right?
Right. I would say that the only people in the movie that keep their clothes on are the working actors who had an appreciation for nudism, but didn't actively do it in their own life. So, for example, the police officer, the cop, Al Burke, who's been in The Wedding Singer and music videos. He's a professional actor in Hollywood who is the guy who shows up as a cop, as a police officer. So, you know, he's been in everything because he has the motorcycles and the outfits and the fake guns and all this. He is a professional police officer, and he's recently bought a fire truck. So he's using this fire truck as background. And so now he shows up as a fireman as well for movies and TV shows. So he is not a nudist. The wrestler who shows up in my nightmares, he is not a nudist, but again, they were open-minded enough. And I do want to say that the girl who plays my evil ex, the girl who breaks my heart at the beginning of the movie and then shows up at the end as my crazy ex trying to get back with me, she had never done nudity on film, but was willing. She got topless and trusted me to cut it so that it was above her nipples. Mm-hmm. And we did. And that was great. Like, that meant a lot to me. Like, that nothing warms my heart more than when people are involved in my projects and at whatever level, they trust that I'm not going to exploit them or hurt them or take advantage of them, or that, you know, it's not all secretly a ruse to put it on some porn site. So that means a lot to me. Like, I've said this story before, and I don't know if I've said it on this podcast. I lean conservative. Like, I am politically, I lean more on the conservative side, and I'm involved in a lot of Republican groups. I'm a delegate here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine, when it comes to the two areas of my life that are the most controversial is my political views and then nudism. And they couldn't, in a lot of instances, they couldn't be further apart. You've got the hippie liberal nudists who are like, we love being naked, but boo Trump. And then you've got the Republicans who are like, you know, America, patriotism, what? You want to get naked. And so here I am floating in between both worlds. And I've been able to watch being out of the closet, how that affects people on both sides, where I've had some great conversions, some great conversations. And in particular, I was up for a job working in the comics industry here in Nevada. And the girl who was making the decision on whether or not to hire me had some people around her who told her, stay away from him. He's a pervert. And she just happened to be dating a guy who had ran for county commissioner, who was a Republican ex-cop. So a real man's man with the cop mustache. And so she asked him about this Tim guy, you know, should I avoid him? Is he a pervert? And he said, and I wasn't there for this. I found out later, which is great. When you can hear what people say behind your back and it's they have your back. He told her, no, he's not a pervert. He's a nudist. There's a difference. That I got through to him and that he got it and that he was willing to defend me. And I've had so many other people like that come around where it's like, oh, it's not all secretly sex material, et cetera, you know, porn parties. And, you know, it legitimately, I practice what I preach and I mean what I say, you know.
Well, part of the issue, as you know, because I think we've talked about this before, is there are people in the nudist, naturist world who do take it several steps too far. And then that affects the rest of us. Like, no, I'm not like him. I'm not taking my clothes off so I can have sex with 1,000 people. I'm taking my clothes off because clothes for a living, as we say, for all the right reasons. So, yeah, we deal with that all the time. That's what's so great about what you do is you're promoting this, as are we, as are some other people out there. It's, gosh, I don't even... It almost sounds corny when I say it. It just feels so darn good. Feels natural, feels correct. Now, we don't go walking up and down, you know, aisle 7 at the local grocery store nude. We don't do that. Wish we could in our society, but we don't.
I would if I could.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely why I was at Beta Breakers. That's why I like getting out there and being an activist again for the conversations, even the when it gets rough. I assume that I shared my story about Beta Breakers and how I had that one rogue ranger tell us to put our clothes on. You know, we did for about 3 minutes and then we all got naked again and no other cops got in our face. And I called him later and we had a heart to heart where I ripped him apart. I ripped him a new one because there's a permit for it. And what he did was wrong. And he apologized and claimed it won't happen again. But that's not the point. The point is that anything like this that's a bit controversial, you're going to have people who go rogue. Even if you have it all legally agreed, this is a permitted event, people are allowed to be nude, you're going to have people who say, what about the children? Or you're being a weirdo, pervert. And so they have these, they jump to these conclusions that are only in their heads where they're expecting the worst out of us.
Yeah. And as I've shared on the show before, I was raised, I don't want to say a naturist family because that's not 100% true. My dad was nude most of the time. My mom hardly ever, but I was allowed to be clothes free my entire life and stayed that way as a kid, middle school, high school. I even lived at home when I went to college, until I moved out to get married, I was nude in my parents' home. But beyond that, in my neighborhood, which was a traditional suburban neighborhood, I would say at least half the families did the same thing. So when I'd get together with friends to play, you know, age 3, age 10, age 15, the clothes were already off at the home we were playing at, and everybody else took their clothes off. Nothing weird, nothing sexual, nothing, whoa. It was just, that's what we did, because that's what we had done since we were born or able to walk on our own. And when people realize that and explore it, they realize, you know, there is something to this. It does feel kind of good, and it's not weird.
Well, before I get into more of the details about the overall shoot, Melody, you should probably stop talking so much and let me get a word in edgewise here. But why don't you say a little something about your meeting me, being opened up to this world, thoughts, opinions from your perspective?
It was very random how we met. We just met at like a friend's, a mutual friend's like barbecue party or something like that, like a 4th of July, like years ago. And Tim was telling me about what he did, and I thought it was really, really freaking cool. And when he contacted me to do the bit for Noodles of Noodland, I don't want to say I put my heart and soul into it, but I was like, I really want to impress this guy with whatever clip I sent him. I really want him to like me. I want to be in more of his projects. So, I stayed up all night, like writing my little, like 1 minute monologue, got it all recorded, and I was really, really excited when he told me that he liked it. And then when he contacted me about Naked and Not Afraid, I was like, oh, great, I'm going to be a part of something. And then he was like, oh, you're going to be doing stand-up comedy. And I was like, I've never done stand-up comedy before. And so I was really, really, really freaking nervous.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, you know what, let's do it. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, so let's see how this goes. And then when it ended up going really, really well, it was, you know, it was horrifying. Not the naked part doesn't bother me. I'm not as into like the naturalist like world as like you guys are. Like, I'm supportive of it. I'm open minded to it, but I don't really know like too much about it. But just, you know, doing stand up for the very first time, like, you know, is scary enough as it is, and so. Mm-hmm. Getting up there, and then it's also being recorded, and it's like, oh wow, it's gonna live on the internet forever.
That's true.
So that definitely got in my head a bit, but it ended up going really, really well, and all of projects we've been a part of have been super duper fun, and I've been really happy to do it. And stand-up comedy was a lot more, it came a little bit more naturally to me than I expected, and we've done a couple of other stand-up comedy together bits before after that, and they've all gone pretty well.
And
so
you're an artist as well, so besides being a comedian, actress, she because you acted in a few, didn't I get you some acting gigs?
I acted in that movie Ruthless.
Yes, that was the one. But you're an artist, like she does artwork that I would call in the vein of Shel Silverstein. Like it really has, it's layered, and there's fairies and trees and dragons and that sort of fantastical. She's working on a children's book right now.
I'm working on two children's books, actually.
Are you going to illustrate them yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to be illustrating them myself. One of them I'm also going to be helping write it as well.
Okay.
So, you know, looking for publishers right now, but they're coming together pretty nicely. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Now, when you talk about you're an artist, and it sounds like a lot of drawing goes on. Do you also paint? Do you do sculpture? I don't know the ins and outs of the artist business, but what are your areas of expertise?
So I do mainly illustration. I usually do, you know, like pen, line work, kind of comic book, illustrated novel style. I'll either do the line work with, you know, pen and ink, and then color it with alcohol-based markers, or I will color it digitally, depending on what it's for, you know, depending on the style. I do sculptures. But that's mainly a for fun for me thing, like relaxing thing. I haven't tried to sell anything off sculpting before, but I do enjoy doing it.
All right, now a couple questions for you, Melody. The first one, you said you met Tim at a barbecue. I'm guessing it was a textile barbecue. It wasn't a nude fest or anything, right?
No, just a very normal American barbecue with a pool and bathing suits and hot dogs and stuff.
Okay. Second question. Now, when I had worked as a musician starting at about age 15. So I was used to being on stage in front of people and getting feedback, sometimes really good, sometimes, not so good. Let's be honest about it. But even when I got my first job out of college, some of that job involved getting in front of maybe 1,000 people with a microphone and talking. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a stand-up comedy act, but, they expected some humor. You're talking to people. You have to warm up the room. And I wasn't necessarily very good at it. I was okay, but I could tell people were staring at me. And I just, I don't know what's going to happen here. I've ended up learning how to do that. But you got on stage for your first stand-up comedy routine in your life in front of a camera, and you did it nude. What in the world went through your mind when you're walking out, like, am I really doing this, or was it just totally natural, no problem?
Oh, yeah, I definitely, up until it was going on, every fiber of my being definitely wanted to run away and hide under a table and cry.
Like, I'll bet, yeah.
Like, that was definitely my immediate instinct. But then, once I got up there, it was also, it was a little nerve-wracking because the first joke in the set is kind of a long one. Like, it takes a minute to get to the punchline.
Yeah.
And so, when you're on stage, like all the time you're doing the setup for the joke is dead silent. Right. And there's like that voice in your head that's saying like, God, I please hope they laugh. I please hope they laugh. I please hope they laugh. But you can't really focus on that head because then you might fuck up the setup and then they definitely won't laugh. So, but once I got that first one out and there was a laugh, there was definitely a bit of like relaxation and you'd be like, okay, it's good. It's laughing. The rest of them are going to be a little bit faster. We'll be able to get through it. And then, when it was over, it definitely felt good. And I don't know, we ended up doing Skankfest.
We'll get into that. One thing at a time. Just because I have a through line here, so I want to finish up with the TV show, but we will get to that. So she had a good enough time that we did some more naked comedy later. Mm-hmm. Now I'll get to that. But I just want to mention that we shot it on location in Pasadena, that area, Arroyo del Sol, at the same place I shot the Noodles of Noodland. But we rented a theater that was out there, and that's where we shot over multiple days. So the guy who put up the money, Joe Zekonski, which I do want to say, I said this before we started filming, the biggest issue, and it just is what it is with doing these projects, is the financing, because it's solid nudist content that doesn't have a sexual edge to it is kind of it doesn't have the appeal for people to put up money for it. Is what I'm saying. I am able to raise funds. I am right now, as I talk to you, in negotiations for $350,000 to shoot a movie for the Lifetime Network. And I've got the Lifetime people. I've got the investor. That's good to go. I have another project for $600K. Like, I can get projects that are mainstream. But when it comes to my passion stuff, it is hard to put up a real budget. And so when Josie came to the table and was willing to pay my performers, they all got paid, and we even flew in some talent, including my co-host, who's great, Kate Lane, who is amazing. You saw all 5 episodes, Frank, so you can.
She's terrific. Yeah, she's really good.
So we flew her out from the East Coast and put her up in a bed and breakfast for a few days. So these things add up to rent the facility, to have the crew, to have the talent. There were elements that, I want to say this before anybody watches it so that they know I'm in on it. Like, I'm not shocked by it. I thought my job was to cast the talent and to be a performer, and that I would let him handle the technical aspects and the set design and the direction. Well, when we got there, the set was lacking of, like, the interview area is a blank wall behind us, which I'm sad about. I'm like, oh man, like, this looks like it's shot in a back alley. Then on stage, like, I don't think we got enough great shots of the audience. So it's not, I've never claimed that this is Avatar or Titanic. I'm still, if somebody gives me the budget of Avatar and Titanic, I'll do what I can. But right now I'm holding these projects together with gum and the best of intentions. So it's super indie for now, which I hope I'm at least showing, if somebody looks at my resume, they see what I can do with money. Like if you watch my movie, Hell's Coming for You, that is, you know, upwards of over 400K shot in Las Vegas with drone shots and explosions and hot air balloon stunts. You take that kind of a budget and apply it to something that has heart like The Noodles of Noodland or Naked and Not Afraid. That's where I hope to end up eventually, but I need to have returns. I need to show that these things can go somewhere, that there's an audience for it. And I'm still fighting that battle consistently, including, I have to tell you this story real quick because it's in my notes here before I forget. So I'm on set. The first day we're shooting, I'm a little disgruntled because it seems like although the crew is there, and so we have sound people and we have camera people, Frank Stone, nobody was taking charge. Nobody was directing. Nobody was the floor director. Nobody was talking about, okay, ready, camera two, take this. They were just shooting everything at the same time and thinking that they would handle it in post. Right. And it was not a way to run a set. It's right. You need to have a chain of command. And so the second day after we, you know, had some stress the first day, the second day of shooting, I lost my cool. And when we were around a swimming pool, I put my foot down and I said, who is the director? And that's when Josie and Mark Fried, Josie was a financier overseer, and Mark Fried was the guy who had been handling the camera stuff. They both stared at me and there was a moment of silence.
Yeah.
And that's when, even though we had never discussed it, I realized they expected me to direct it too.
There you go.
And so that's when I had to start being like, okay, all right, so we're going to do this and that, and then we're going to ready that. And then so it finally got flowing. But nobody said that to me. Nobody ever said, Tim, you're going to cast it. You're going to get the locations. You're going to oversee, you know, the comedy bits and the magic acts and the hypnotism. And we want you to direct this thing. Like, come on, guys, you know.
Did they at least give you one of those fancy director chairs with your name on it like we see on TV?
I have two of them in my condo here, one from Hell's and one for The Noodles of Noodland. I don't think I brought it to set because I didn't know I was going to direct.
Exactly. Now, you know, a question about the financing, Tim. You said people are a little bit leery of putting money toward naturism, nudism projects. Is that because they're a fear of what people will think, or they don't think they'll get the financial return?
Well, if they're afraid of what people will think, we can let them be a shadow investor or a quiet investor where it's strictly a money payoff. And, you know, anything under a certain amount, they get their money back plus 20%. So that's if somebody put, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $10,000, they get their money back plus 20% off the top of whatever comes in. But anything above and beyond that, then it gets to be in perpetuity. And there's excitement for that. So for example, you know, I shoot an action movie or a horror movie. The person who puts up the money then gets the back end quarterly payments or buyouts or minimum guarantees. And that's in perpetuity. That's forever. You know, for example, my Lifetime deal, Lifetime gives you, if it's on the life, there's two different versions of Lifetime. One is like the Lifetime channel and one is Lifetime original movies, something like there's two competing channels. One payoff is 200K. The other one is 250K. And as long as it gets picked up by either one of those, that affects Mar Vista, which handles foreign distribution. And depending on which one they paid is how much they give you. And it's around $120,000 on that buyout. And one deal is 15 years and the other one is 5 years. So anyway, the financing is something that I can handle and I can put it all together. But part of it is people having a stigma thinking that there's no audience for it. You know, I'm preaching to the choir when I tell you we're losing nudist resorts right and left. You know, I could go down a list, you know, about De Anza and about, you know, issues at Olivedale and about Lupin Lodge. And, you know, there's a one in Texas that just shut down. So it seems like the new culture of body positive people are more about events. Younger people want to go out to a naked bike ride, a naked marathon, a naked party, a naked rave or whatever. And they're less likely about let's take the RV to the nudist resort and go camping. And I think, you know, and not everybody likes to hear this, but if nothing else, I'm very transparent. I always say they claim they want to attract young people, but then they don't have a young person mindset. They say things like, why aren't we getting college kids to come? And then you say, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, chili cook-off and bingo night? Ah, I'm sure they're just lining up. They can't wait to be there. There's nothing better to do than that. Or they'll show up and they're playing their music too loud and they're splashing in the pool. And the old, you know, begrudging-y people are like, these people are, they're kids, okay? They're kids. They're having fun. They have that youthful exuberance. And we all make mistakes and bad choices when we're young, drink a little too much, whatever. And so you got to be willing, if you want the youth, you got to be willing to shake up your misconceptions about what they're going to be like. They're not going to show up and act like the little old lady librarian, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, as far as being leery of the project, I know a lot of business people, and I could just see everyone that I know saying, if they're against naturism, like, I'm not going to fund a naked product. And then you can say, well, you'll make this much money. Oh, okay, where do I sign? Well, most business people will dive in if they know there's going to be a return or if it looks pretty good, right? Or no.
It opens the conversation. And then there's different avenues that we can go with for it. Like, for example, Pastor Jim, who you've had on your show, who's a dear friend of mine. He is a second generation pastor, and his father wrote a series of books. And the books are faith-based action. And we're in the process right now of dealing with that intellectual property. And we've been taking meetings with investors about going in on that. And although that's not a naturist production, we have opened the door to discussing what Pastor Jim has going on with the Bible events and the nude weddings and this juxtaposition between conservatism and naturism, and how it's shocking and outrageous enough to a lot of people that it could make a heck of a documentary. And so I'm dealing with a documentary crew that did stuff for Netflix, such as Jim and Andy, about Jim Carrey when he played Andy Kaufman. Mm-hmm. They did a movie called American Movie back in the day, and they're very interested in working with me. And in particular, they want to follow me doing this passion project of mine, which is a horror movie about nudism. It's called Naked Alien Massacre. It's set at a nudist resort. I've been talking about it since 2012. I tried to raise money for it, and people were too scared. I was at the LA screening of Act Naturally, JP's movie, and I was talking to people about mine, and I had people just like, it's so interesting. The people who were there were supportive of the naturist community in a comedy. But when I said I wanted to do a naturist horror movie, they were like, yeah, good luck with that. So it's, you know,
I don't get that at all.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, Frank Stone. Like, I can't walk a straight, I have interests all over the place, and I want to sprinkle what I'm into on different types of genres. I don't want to be in the preachy, boring area that where us nudists just keep repeating the same stuff. I'd like to take it and sprinkle that on other areas and make people think and talk in not just always like a documentary format about, you know.
Yeah, I don't get. I feel like horror and nudism kind of it seems like a natural fit to me. I mean, like, horror movies are kind of outrageous to the world at large. Naturism is kind of outrageous, you know. I think it makes a lot of sense personally. I'm really excited for it. I think the script is great.
I fully agree. Now, in the time we have left here, we're talking to Tim Chismar and Melody Munson today. You want to talk about a skank fest, and before you do, when I was in high school, you know, 173 years ago, you called somebody a skank and you were either going to get a sock in the nose or they'd call you a worse name, but somehow it's now celebrated. I mean, just tell us about this. What the heck is Skankfest? What's going on there?
When it comes to Skankfest, they are reclaiming back the word skank. They're proud to be skanks. They look at skank as like they're partiers, they're drinkers. They may dabble in a little bit of drugs from here and there. And so they want to have a good time. And part of that is no holds barred comedy. So they want it raucous and outrageous, and it attracts a lot of comedians who are on the fringe or who aren't a fan of cancel culture and being doxxed and being afraid of what they can say because it'll offend the group this week. And as part of it, I learned that they do a thing called the naked roast. And when I heard about it, that it was fully nude people on stage making fun of each other to the thrills of the audience, and that there are no cameras, no video, it was a bucket list thing, just like what got me into nudism in the beginning, which was being an art student and wanting to pose for art classes to have that experience. I desperately needed to be involved in a naked roast battle. So I jumped through the hoops and I approached the people I needed to, and I got my way. I'll tell you this, if I can say one bit of advice for anybody out there listening, if there's something you want to do, whether it's make a movie, write a book, sell an album, join a comedy troupe, whatever you want to do, you can make your way to the powers that be. Don't let any gatekeepers stand in your way. In the writing world, my books and my literature, I've been involved in Latin awards in Mexico and dealt with Stephen King. I've worked with Clive Barker. I've worked with Anne Rice. I've worked with the guy who created Hellboy. I Guillermo del Toro, et cetera, et cetera. There's nobody that I can't get to, or I know somebody to get to. And it's just about perseverance and not going away. And if somebody says that they won't help you, just go around them, or who represents so-and-so. That being said, I got into the people at Skankfest and I was able to get booked, but I didn't want to do it alone. I like having a team. I like having people around me. And so
that's where I come in.
My right. pitch was, I want to do this with a lovely, funny lady, and we will balance each other out. And so, you're not just getting me, but obviously, like most naked things, it skews male. More men are willing to get naked at the drop of a hat, whereas women, because of society and everything around it, it's slut shaming, whatever. They dump all that on you guys, and it makes it a little more less likely for women to stand in line to get naked in front of people that call themselves skanks. So, luckily for me, my skankette joined me, and we prepped and planned, and what would you say about the experience, Melody?
It was great. I hadn't done stand up too many times before, and so we wrote our bit together, about a week before, and then we went to a couple of open mic nights, which was great because that really a lot of that nervousness that I experienced during Naked and Not Afraid, I was able to kind of get out of my system, because I feel like the idea of going on stage and telling a joke and having it not land and people not laughing was such this terrifying thing in my mind. And then when we did it and there was a couple jokes that didn't work and people didn't laugh, it was like, oh, I'm still alive. It's fine. We'll change the jokes. Not a big deal. And so I don't really, by the time I got up on stage for Skankfest, I didn't really have any of that nervousness anymore. I was like, hey, we bomb. And we didn't bomb. We did really, really well, I think.
Yeah.
And it was a really great experience. We met a lot of really, really cool people. Tim met Roseanne, which was really, I was too nervous to say anything to her, but
Roseanne Barr. Yeah. Backstage.
Roseanne Barr was backstage. We met, Mark Norman.
He's a big deal. He has a Netflix special.
Cool. Yep. He was super sweet. He gave me a pat on the back after the show and said we did a great job, and that felt really, really good.
We Brandon Schaub, Ron White.
Ron White. We smoked. Can I say that?
We smoked a little weed with Ron White. We were in the green room with all the top celebrities, Dr. Drew showed up, Brandon Schaub, TJ Miller from the Deadpool movies. Yeah. He was there. Mm-hmm. On and on and on. This is a giant comedy extravaganza celebrating freedom of speech and being outrageous. And and that's why they get away with this Skankfest with as far as the naked roast. And if your people out there aren't familiar with what a roast is, you're on stage and you go back and forth making fun of each other. And they had three judges, one naked girl, two naked guys, and then the host, this guy, Zach. And I guess the thing I wasn't super prepared for was the host was very appreciative of our courage of being able to do it naked. But remember, part of the marquee of their vibe is being a-holes. And so I wasn't prepared for them to like hit me with like body jokes about being fat and, penis and all this. And so that made me go on the defensive and I was like throwing barbs back at them, which affected, because you want to be likable and fun when you're on stage, but when you're being attacked, you kind of attack back. And, in hindsight, like next time I want to try to find a balance where I don't come off necessarily as the bad guy. Like if this was pro wrestling, I felt like I was the bad guy heel. And as soon as she walked on stage being the pretty naked girl, she immediately was the fan favorite.
Good. Now, I remember seeing a short video the two of you put out. I think you were in the car driving away from this particular
stage. Yeah, it was right after it.
Yeah. And so did you, the two of you trade barbs? You went after each other?
Correct. Yeah. And so we decided, we came up with a couple of areas to hit each other and make fun of each other. But, you know, it's funny. Like, I genuinely like Melody here and I respect her and I appreciate her. So
I think Tim is okay.
Yeah,
he's not bad. He's okay.
Which is the adequate response. I was trying to think, like, it was hard to come up with things to hit her about, you know? Yeah. But okay. All of that being said, we are in talks with them and they want us back again. Mm-hmm. So Skankfest is coming back to Las Vegas, September 27th to the 29th. And Melody and I are going to be going against different opponents. So this time I will be taking on a different girl and she will be taking on a different dude. And, but I'm still requesting we perform on the same night. So all four of us can kind of go over stuff and plan and prepare. And you know what? Just like with your podcast, I'm taking over Skankfest.
Yeah, no kidding. I have one more question here and then we're going to have to duck out of here. I could talk to you, the two of you all day and we do need to have
I've
you
got so
back.
Many notes. You know it, Frank.
I know. We're going to have you back for sure. And the question is from Melody. Now, when Tim first approached you about this, hey, let's get you on stage telling jokes fully naked, and you were, even as you were walking out, you were thinking, is there a place to run and hide? What is your background regarding this? You were not raised as a naturist, I'm guessing, but so what do you do now? Are you in the naturist community? Do you just get naked whenever?
Tim was definitely my introduction to it. You know, I'm in full support of it. I would love to go to some of these events that Tim has mentioned. Like, I hate bike riding, so not a naked bike ride, but other stuff like that. You know, I think it's really, really cool. I think it's admirable that people do. I think this would be like something I would like fully submerge my life in all the time. No, probably not. But it's something that I'm definitely open-minded to and willing to dabble in, willing to participate in. You know, almost all of the naturalists I've met have been just the friendliest and nicest people.
That's the nicest thing about it, yeah.
Which is great.
So you have no problem removing your clothes for all the right reasons, you know, at a barbecue or a swimming pool or whatever, but you don't seek it out as much as maybe Tim would or I would or some of our other listeners.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Really appreciate having both of you with us. We've had Tim Chismar for the 2,373rd time on the show, and also his sidekick today, Melody Munson. First of all, Melody, thank you very much. Very impressed with your work, your, for lack of a better term, courage, getting naked, telling jokes on stage, and whatever else you're doing. So thank you for being with us today.
Yes, thank you. And if anyone is interested in checking out my art, you can see it at Sex, Drugs, and Dragons on Instagram.com. So check that out if anyone's curious as to what my illustrations look like.
And my movie and the TV show are at nudisthumorous.com. Always a pleasure. Way more to talk about than we have time for. Why don't you do a 6-hour show, Frank Stone? Come on.
Well, we have 24 hours a day. Why don't we just do all 24?
That's what I'm saying. Jerry Lewis telethon. Here we come.
That's right. All right, Melody, thank you again. Melody Munson, go have a great clothes-free day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Also, Tim Chismar, clothes-free day. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll definitely have both you guys back on. Have a great day.
Sounds good.
Thank you. You too.
And there you go, the clothes-free hijinks and hilarity with Tim Chismar and Melody Munson. We appreciate all of their time on today's show. And don't forget to send us a line, nakedforevermore@gmail.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter, Naked Nudist and Naturist. Find us there and send us a DM. Well, thank you for being with us on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 35 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.